It's November 28, 2015, and this is Sea Shepherd Podcast number 337. The SharePoint podcast from the European SharePoint Conference 2015 in Stockholm is presented by Harmony. All Microsoft collaboration tools in a consistent, single-screen experience on desktop and mobile devices. Hello everyone, welcome to this episode of the SharePoint podcast. Today again in English. I have lots of stuff from the European SharePoint Conference still on hold. And I need to put it online, so sorry for the little delay. Today I have a wonderful interview here with one of our old friends from the SharePoint podcast, Mike Fitzmaurice, one of the big insiders of the Office 365 and SharePoint ecosystems, is my guest today. And as always, it was a great pleasure to talk to him. And now I will share this interview with you.
I'm Mike Fitzmaurice, the Vice President of Workflow Technology at Nintex.
Yeah, and you're an old friend of the SharePoint podcast. I think you have been in my podcast, I think, three times already?
Three times, maybe more. It seems like a very familiar and comfortable thing. I'm glad you think of me as a friend of the podcast.
And I recently took a picture and posted on my Twitter account about a little car you gave me in 2005.
Yes, right.
It was a giveaway from Microsoft with SharePoint 2003.
Yes. Once upon a time, the SharePoint team had... When I worked on SharePoint marketing, I'd like to think we had more fun giveaways. Yeah. We had little cars. We had cocktail shakers. We had all kinds of fun things. Yeah. Today, it's a bit more corporate and a bit more established.
The good old SharePoint days, and now we have the better Office 365 days.
Yeah, what do you think? It was good then. It's good now. I'm actually very, very, very optimistic about what's happening, both on premises and online in SharePoint.
What I see at Microsoft since Satya Nadella is there, I think there's a lot of fresh air. If you have SharePoint was always a kind of umbrella, getting all the technologies under one hood, and you have one surface, you can find all your tools or whatever. And now you see spreading up so many new tools, Groups, Yammer, Planner, and whatever. What do you think about that?
It's perfectly natural. Look, there were always several different services being provided by SharePoint, but in an on-premises world, a data center world, the appeal was we could put in one server that did 6, 7, 8 different workloads. So you could deploy fewer things and there would be a consistent user interface to all of them. They would behave the same way. You'd go to the same place to get them. Everyone wins. Mm-hmm. The cloud changed some things. It suddenly made where the server is unimportant. And whether you're thinking about data centers or thinking about the cloud, the notion of spending a lot less time paying attention to servers and a lot more time paying attention to services, that's the big difference. So SharePoint used to be one server that did several things together. It was kind of like a Swiss Army knife of sorts. Now it's a provider for sites. It's a provider for documents. It's a provider for search services and e-discovery and so many other things. It's a delivery system for project management. It's a delivery system for business intelligence. But SharePoint is providing several services. You aren't supposed to care about where they're coming from. If you look at the main menu under Office 365, the waffle, some people call it, click on that and you'll see a bunch of tiles. The tiles don't say SharePoint. The tiles say Delve. The tiles say Sites. The tile says OneDrive or something like that. It's SharePoint. Yeah. You don't know, and you're not supposed to care. In fact, it doesn't say Exchange either. It might say Mail. It might say Calendar or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. But it's the services that matter now. And that way of thinking is actually coming down into the data center anyway. And to the extent that people go hybrid, which I think actually makes a ton of sense, again, it's the user, the business decision maker, even the developer under the right sets of circumstances shouldn't care about where it's coming from. They should just use it.
Mm-hmm. So definitely SharePoint is not dead, but it's not visible anymore.
That's probably a very good way to put it. I was going to say SharePoint, in quotation marks, might be receding into the background as a brand. But SharePoint, without quotation, SharePoint as a set of technology, SharePoint as a group of people at Microsoft, SharePoint as a way of doing things is alive, well, healthy, evolving. Not only is it not in trouble, it's growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but concentrating on services means we have to deal with the services. Now we see tools like Yammer, Groups, SharePoint Team Sites, Planner,
yes,
coming more and more and more and more. How can we deal with this? Do you have any ideas how to find out what's the right tool for the right task? Do we use all the tasks whenever we need it, or should we concentrate on one?
I'd say look at it as a set of APIs or as a set. If you're a user, think of them as a set of services with user interfaces, with tiles that you click on in order to get something done. If you're a developer, think of those as different sets of APIs to work with. It's Microsoft's job. They're honor bound to make it all behave in a consistent, connectable manner. Mm-hmm. I think they've done, how can I best put this? They've done a good job to date. They need to do a better job to realize that goal. Yammer is a little bit of a strange story because it was acquired a couple of years ago. It was a standalone third-party company. They did a lot of things their own way. It still doesn't behave as a seamless part of Office 365. But if I compare Yammer today to Yammer of 1 year ago, it's certainly much better. Mm-hmm. And I suspect you will see the services provided by Yammer. And I'm not saying this with any inside information or not. I honestly don't know. But based on what I do know, I think Microsoft has an interest in making sure it behaves more and more seamlessly so that if you need to have group discussions, the only place where it makes sense to do that should be in Yammer, whether they call it Yammer tomorrow or keep calling it Yammer or give it a different name or say it's Office Discussions or something like that. I'm making this up, but the point is, the service provided by Yammer is going to continue to be provided. It needs to be provided. Hopefully, there will be one and only one way to provide it. I think, personally, because remember, I work for a workflow company. Our workflows assign people tasks all the time. I'd love to see Microsoft come up with a consistent way to handle tasks. Mm-hmm. We'd certainly love to do that. We need to, at this point, support Exchange Server tasks in Outlook, SharePoint tasks, project tasks. I'm sure I'm leaving something out at the moment, but there are multiple places where tasks can live in the world of Office. We'd love to see it consistent.
Task might be a good job for Wunderlist, you know, the Berlin company.
Oh, thank you.
I
was forgetting something, and yes, that's the.
I did an interview with one from Wunderlist because they're in Berlin, mm-hmm, and they showed us what they are working. It's just a pre-early stadium to integrate the Microsoft platform, but that will come. Back to Yammer, maybe it will be the same story as with FastSearch. So yes. Microsoft acquired FastSearch three or four years ago, and now it's completely integrated.
It's an ideal model. It comes out as something that's standalone and not exactly the same, but that's step one. Step two is it interoperates rather nicely. Step three, it becomes part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
It becomes nice and seamless. You and I can use Office 365 today or SharePoint 2013, and Fast, the technology is there, but Fast, the brand, it's gone, and we don't care, do we?
We just want to use the function. We want to share or to like or to do something, but we don't want to go into Yammer to do something, but we want to just do it.
Yammer should appear. I think that you're not done until the work comes to you. If you make the user go to the work, you still have work to do. You're not finished. The stuff should appear wherever it needs to be. I don't want one more website to have to go to get something done. Yeah. I have probably 10 websites or 10 URLs I care about or 10 apps I use in order to do my day-to-day jobs. Don't give me another one. Show up where I already work, please. So yes, Yammer finding its way into every other part of Office, I think that would be lovely.
You as Nintex, as a service provider, a tool provider, you are also looking at all the tools and interesting how can you integrate Yammer into your platform
and
whatever.
We already do. Yeah. We have connectors for Yammer and have for a couple of years now, come to think of it. And obviously everything in SharePoint and large parts of Exchange and Link, Skype for Business and so on and so forth. We love connecting things. We obviously like connecting them as part of an overall business orchestration or business process or something to that effect. But,
So if I sum it up, you say don't look at the tools, but use the tools that provide the most value for your work.
And we look at that when we're coming up with connectors. So in other words, we see a set of services to choose from. We look at their APIs as opposed to their tiles.
Yeah.
But again, we make the same choices that users do in terms of what is the repertoire of things we think people will need to connect to and bring together in order to make things happen.
Another point with Microsoft has some interesting things is InfoPass, forms.
Oh, sure.
What's a form story? I think Microsoft has no actual form tool anymore. So you're offering forms. What's the strategy for a company who will still need use forms?
I think the word form can mean a lot of different things. I think that for some people, it's a very efficient electronic version of what would have been a paper form. People used InfoPath for that. In fact, they would try to make it look exactly like the paper form. And the form was the thing. And look, there are several tools that can be used to do that. Adobe, obviously, would like you to do it with PDF files. And you could actually do it that kind of stuff in Word if you really need to. But there are ways to get that done. The part that's a whole lot more interesting to me is building forms that are the user interface for processes.
Yeah.
So application UI as opposed to a static document or because every Office document is XML now. You can parse them to your heart's content. You don't need InfoPath for that. But building a user interface for a business process? Oh, yeah. And Nintex is all about that. Our forms technology is really a UI builder for process solutions.
Mm-hmm. I saw companies that they're offering apps for form. They have you create an app for a form, and so it's just a front end to start a process. So is the app model a way to handle forms?
That model's a way to deliver any of a number of different kinds of solutions. You could be talking about a workflow solution or a BI solution or any of a number of different things. Now, if you want to deploy a workflow solution as an app and have it show up in the corporate catalog, sure, that seems perfectly reasonable to me. But again, go to where the user is already working and have the app work there. So there are a lot of Nintex workflows that have user interfaces, obviously, do involve forms and so on. There are some that operate almost silently because the mere act of updating a row someplace or changing a document property or submitting something causes a business process to begin.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want it to be an app that someone deliberately clicks on, fine. If you want it to just happen, that's also fine.
The app model, Microsoft is pushing the App Store, the Office Store, and so
we
have the Office Store is there for, I think, 2 or 3 years, but I think it doesn't make a real big a big success. But do you think within the next 2 or 3 years, Office apps or SharePoint apps or whatever will be more popular, will become more popular?
Wow, I'm going to say maybe, and I hate it when I have to say maybe. But what I will say is this. I think one of the reasons why they have some popularity, but not as much as I might like, is that, well, a lot of the apps that you see in the App Store are sort of connectors to other things that live in other places. That's not true of the stuff that Nintex mm-hmm. does. Ours are fully functional. They add whole new pieces of functionality into any given SharePoint site. But there's some that are just basically little iframes that window into somebody else's website or do some very small part of something else. Part of that is it's not easy to charge for an app mm-hmm. in the App Store. It's improved in its ability to conduct commerce. But when it started out, subscriptions weren't even possible. It was basically a one-time purchase model per site. Mm-hmm. That didn't work for us. We're subscription-based, and we tend to look at the entire tenancy or break it up into pricing one workflow at a time. So Nintex needed our own commerce vehicle, even though we used the App Store as a delivery and deployment vehicle. And I think a lot of companies have been facing that mm-hmm. too. Microsoft is getting smarter and smarter about that. I think it will help draw more people to the App Store. But again, as people migrate and do more work in Office 365, you have to use the App Store.
Yeah, when I look at my iPhone or my iPad and use whenever I need some function, I look in the store, install the app, and it's working. So it's an absolutely seamless, very great process. But on the Microsoft platform, it's always not that great experience. But on the other hand, as you said, SharePoint is, you view it as a platform for APIs. So it's an ideal endpoint for apps, mm-hmm. just to say, I have a good idea for a business solution. I create an app and I can deliver it. But if you say, I have no real good model to charge for it, it's a problem.
Well, what I'd say is it's improved, but it takes a while for improvements to yield results. Mm-hmm. So what we're looking at is what the market was able to deliver with the old deployment model, which certainly had its limits, or the old commerce model, which still had its limits. The other thing is we're still working through a period of people being very comfortable with trusted code and not wanting to let it go. And that's okay. There are always some things that require trusted code, but there's no place to put that in Office 365. Which means you're going to use the App Store whether you want to or not. It's just a question of how ready you are to take advantage of it. I think there's a lot you can do in the App Store, mm-hmm. but one, it needs to have a commerce model that works for everybody. That's improving. I also think the curation needs to be extra serious. One of the reasons that we can go to something if we have an iPhone and we go to Apple's App Store, we know that it's been scrutinized fairly heavily. In fact, their approval process is a bit mysterious. But we do know that they check it out to make sure it's doing what it says it does and that it's not being harmful. Occasionally they fail, but they do a remarkably good job of it. Same thing needs to happen, that level of curation. Like if I add this to my site, it's going to do what I want.
I know it from my own behavior. When I look, found it. Oh, it's an interesting app. What? $1.99? Oh, come. I get it. So it's just one click and it's there. So no, it's easy to shop and easy to use it. So this is just kind of experience.
Here's the other problem with the commerce model that exists today, though. It's really designed so that it's modeled after, it looks like the App Store for your mobile phone. So you could be on your handy, whether it's an iPhone or an Android device or a Microsoft device or something, and I want that. I click, I get it, except that it's not like that. Many IT departments disable it to some extent. Others say, no, you can't just go buy anything. If you click, I want that, it goes into a wish list or a request list, and someone at IT has to go through it. And so there will still be bureaucracy. The purchase, and I realize this is an audio recording. No one can understand. I just did air quotes around the word purchase. Yes. Quote, purchase, quote, isn't a purchase at all most of the time, unless somebody with tenancy administration privileges is rummaging through the App Store.
Another topic, I think you at Nintex are using heavily Office 365.
Oh, yeah.
How has Office 365 and the cloud improved your personal work style or company work style during the last 2, 3, 4 years?
It's become much, much, much easier to share things with other people, both inside and outside of the company. Obviously, I use OneDrive for business. I use regular SharePoint sites for some things. But we actually are on, we still have a few on-premise investments, and the on-premises investments are still based on SharePoint 2010. We didn't try to migrate them. When we went to the Office 2013 code base, we did it in the cloud, and that's what we use. So there's some legacy stuff that's still in 2010, and it'll gradually be migrated, or it'll be left alone, and that's okay too. We're hybrid people, like I think most companies. But all the new stuff, that's absolutely happening in 365.
So, and your main device, you're accessing your Office 365, your mobile phone, or?
Oh, no. Well, I shudder to think of main device. I mean, I have a MacBook. Yeah. I have a Surface 3. I have an iPad. I have an iPhone. I have demo devices on both Android and Windows Phone. I use everything. I even occasionally dabble in Linux, but not really anything with respect to Nintex. But I use everything. I don't have a main device.
And it's great that Office 365 is supporting these.
Exactly. That is my point. To me, it's not about, I'll use the right device that fits the work I'm doing at any given time. It's my stuff that I care about, and I can get to my stuff in Office 365 anytime I want. That's what it's done for me.
Yeah, it's easy. If you have a new device, just log in and everything is there and you can start sharing and then working on it. It's very easy.
That's very true.
Let's have a look in maybe 5 years ahead.
Okay.
2020.
Yeah.
What are you seeing? How will we work in 2020 with an infrastructure like maybe Office 365 version 255?
Wow. That's a tall order because 5 years in our industry is a really, really long time. But I will say this. In 5 years, I think you'll be using a ton of Microsoft cloud software. I think you'll be using some on-premises. I think there will still be some on-premises stuff. No two ways about it. It's just necessary in many cases. But this whole idea of it's my stuff, I just get it from whatever device I want when I want it, that will win. That is too valuable. But this is the following is the part that shouldn't be controversial. You won't care about where it is or who makes it or anything like that. You'll get your email, and I'd like it to be coming from Exchange technology, but you're not going to care. It's just going to be your mailbox. I think you might be using customer service relationship software coming from Microsoft, but it might come from Salesforce. But it's going to it will appear to be a seamless part of your workspace because we're already kind of agreeing on OAuth and REST and OData and JSON and all that other stuff in order to do interoperability between apps. It's imperfect, and I think the APIs will improve over the next 5 years, but SharePoint is important. SharePoint's certainly at the center of my universe and yours, I suspect. Mm-hmm. But SharePoint isn't the only star in the galaxy, and we're going to need to care about all of that stuff at once.
And when you look at the interfaces, like we see like HoloLens or like predictive analytics, I think in 5 years we will see
one more way to get to your stuff.
Yeah, we'll see that the stuff is presented due to your behavior and about the analytics.
Right, and I how about this? I think good thoughts about Microsoft playing a leading role in being able to bring all that stuff together into one's workspace, which could manifest on a device, at a desktop, in a HoloLens type thing, on your TV, or any of a number of things. I think the scope will expand beyond just things built by Microsoft. This is the important part. Microsoft has already shown an ability to play well with others by writing some great apps for iOS and for Android. They've actually written some great apps for OS X on the Mac. I think they get the fact that they will win by being everywhere, not by making everyone come to them. Mm-hmm. So their ability to act as a conduit, act as a gathering point, act as a facilitator and a service provider, this actually gives me a whole lot more faith than I had 2 years ago.
Mike, it was always a great pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much for taking the time.
My pleasure, sir. Have a good conference.
Das war der SharePoint Podcast. Das auditive Update für den engagierten SharePoint-Anwender. Feedback und Kommentare bitte auf sharepointpodcast.de.
Auf was? Ach, auf Wiedersehen, ja.